from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Can I play it one more time? And then we're going to get some calls. 888-957-9570. But check out Fred Warner again on with Kay Adams, FanDuel TV. Listen close now.
From day one, I've been a Brock Purdy fan, and I always will be. I think he's one of the best in the league, and soon he will be the best, undisputed, right? But, you know, practice, I'm not even about to talk about no practice. I mean, right. If people want to make something out of practice with interceptions and all that other stuff, listen, you obviously have never been in the NFL if you're out there writing stories about interceptions in practice. But like Debo mentioned, he's going against one of the best defenses in the league. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, it's all good. We're not worried about that.
Okay. I know you were focused on the stop worrying about practice interceptions. I agree with you completely, but the other statement, by the way, is the one that I think is going to start making the rounds on debate TV this weekend and on Monday. Like, I'm just telling you right now, prediction: Fred Warner's comment is going to be, because this is what plays in 2024, Fred Warner said that Brock Purdy is one of the best quarterbacks in the league and will soon be the best, undisputed. That's on a tee, that's on a platter for Stephen A. and FS1. It's on a platter.
I think he should have that kind of confidence in his man. I like that he said that, and I like that he believes it. I mean, didn't he impress Fred Warner the most when he was running the scout teams in camp? And he was like, yeah, they were talking smack back and forth. And
no, the story is that Fred Warner and Trent Williams were having a conversation walking off the field. This is when it was all about Trey Lance and Jimmy on the side field and all that stuff. And they were having a conversation about Brock Purdy. They're like, you see this kid? Dude can play. But Fred Warner and Trent Williams, like, we're not talking about, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like Ronnie Bell was talking to Gross Matos and was like, ooh, Brock's pretty good. No, like Fred Warner and Trent Williams, the two freaking statesmen of the two sides of the ball, are like, oh my God. I mean, I don't think I'm out of line here to say that it's very likely that Fred Warner and Trent Williams are both going to end up having gold jackets.
Yeah.
And that's what they thought before the guy had ever played a game.
I'm probably going too deep in the weeds here, but I think Fred Warner's probably sick of talking about, is Brock Purdy good or is he not? And remember they had to answer that question all last year?
Sure.
And so for him to go that way is just like, that was a professional way of ending all of that.
But it won't.
And I think he believes it. That sounded sincere.
Yeah. Do you believe that that's his ceiling?
I don't. I'm not going to. I mean, Fred's forgot more football in that statement than I'll ever know.
He's also a teammate, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know how the game is played and the game of talk, microphone talk.
He goes up against him every day.
Check a 1-2.
And then he plays all the best on Sunday.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good reference, and he's probably trying to pump up his teammate a little bit there. So maybe it was probably, I don't know, half pumping him up, half believing what he's saying. I don't know if Brock's going to be the best. I can't sit here and say that right now. I don't know. I think this season's huge for him. Always got to be the guy with a chip on his shoulder, proving himself every Sunday. I don't think a big contract next year will affect him. But like when you're always the underdog and you always have to prove yourself every single Sunday, that's a good thing. I don't want Brock Purdy to ever take a deep breath and think I've arrived. He always has to play with that chip on his shoulder to prove people wrong every Sunday.
Grandy, maybe you know this. Are there any other quarterbacks who are coming up? Like, in other words, what other quarterbacks are going to do the extension thing next offseason? Is anybody, because Tua just got his, right? Lawrence just got his. Herbert and Burrow were both just a year ago. Lamar got taken care of. Who else is coming up who might be involved in the conversation next year? And the reason I'm asking is, outside of something either injury or like really going sideways with Brock Purdy's year, I'm wondering if there's anything that would stop Brock Purdy from getting the biggest contract in the history of the NFL, at least when it's signed.
This isn't his draft class. It's one full group of years ahead of him. But Dak Prescott's got a contract thing coming up.
Right. But Dak...
Jordan Love?
Jordan Love just got his.
Okay.
And he's 55.
Jared Goff
just got his. Okay. He got 52.
This is a bootleg website, then.
So, well, those both just happened within the last three, four weeks.
Check the date.
But, yeah, some of the, like Dak Prescott, it sounds like, goes into the final year of his deal this year, and the Cowboys would like that to play out. But that's a fair one.
Russell Wilson?
$40 million this year for Dak. Russell Wilson's contract's definitely going to go down, no matter what he does this year.
Yeah, as far as quarterbacks that are going to be making big money, like there's guys that are going on expiring deals, but that aren't going to make a ton of money. They are much younger than Brock and still have a couple of years to go.
So it's basically Dak and Brock.
I think so.
And Dak, the reports say, is asking for 60, and the Cowboys said, go show us.
And which they should.
Absolutely they should. However...
Are you a Dak guy?
No, but I'm also not a Dak guy. Like, I don't think that he stinks.
I think the game starts moving real fast for him when it's a big game late.
Maybe. Yeah, I he hasn't been great at his biggest moments, but when the Green Bay Packers come into your building and hot knife through butter for 3.5 quarters, I don't blame the quarterback. That's not how I roll. I don't blame the quarterback. Like, your defense was not any good, and your offseason this year has been laughable. The Dallas Cowboys have had the most laughable offseason I think I've ever seen for a team that supposedly is contending for something. They have decided to apparently just ignore the running back room and act like it doesn't exist. They have left CeeDee Lamb on an island almost worse than Brandon Ayuk's because CeeDee is obvious. Like, hello, that should be the second highest paid receiver in the game. Justin gets 35, give CeeDee his 33, and let's go. There's no conversation here. They've left him on an island and then had the owner come out to microphones and go, yeah, we don't miss him. Okay, so what are you guys doing? They've made no moves this offseason. Really, really odd
good
things going on for the Dallas Cowboys.
Screw
but,
Dallas.
But Dak will come out and put up numbers. For sure he will.
You know who would not change with a big contract?
Who?
Amon-Ra St. Brown, based on what we were talking about.
I agree.
He would work harder than he already works if you gave him a five-year deal.
I think that's the way he wakes up in the morning. Yeah, he doesn't know any other
thing. He wakes up mad. He wants to kill somebody when he wakes up in the morning. No. I feel like he's serious. He recites the 16 guys right out of bed that were drafted before him.
I look at Amon-Ra and working out hard, kind of like, you know, like a kid that grows up in California versus a kid that grows up in Nebraska. Like, when you see the ocean, if you grew up in California, you're like, yeah, there's the ocean. If you grew up in Nebraska, you're like, holy crap. There's the, like, what is that? I've never seen that before in my life. Amon-Ra, like the gym to him, is like the ocean to a California kid. He doesn't know anything else. You wake up and you go to the gym and you spend most of the day there. I think it's habitual with him.
So you saw him. I agree with you. He was like 10 years old doing bench press. And then he was crying after the Pop Warner games when he didn't have a good game. I was like, oh man, this guy's so intense. I think he has fun playing.
I think he does. And it got really fun when he signed that contract. That was fun. Don't you think?
I'm a closet Lions fan. I grew up a Lions fan. Before I was a Niners fan, then they got good again, so I'm a front runner Lions fan until they play the 49ers. Yeah, but then I'm a 49ers fan.
The Lions are like an easy other team to not mind if they're not playing the Niners.
Well, Jared,
Bay Area guy, but also
known him since he was a baby.
Well, but they're so not threatening. They're the Lions. That's why it's easy to like them. They've never broken anybody's heart except for their own fans.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
That was a tough NFC championship game to watch because that was my dad's one shot of a Super Bowl as a Lions fan. And then my son and I were with him rooting for the Niners. And then we got done and we were like, oh, we should probably be quiet.
Yeah, right? I didn't feel bad at all. But, you do go, oof, that must not have been fun. The Lions fans. Yeah, you do. In a way, feel bad for them. But so sad. Anyway, 49er David in Concord. Hey, what's up? You're on with Willard and FP.
Hey, guys. So help me understand the logic. If Trent Williams doesn't play in this preseason game, which he otherwise wouldn't play in anyways, he's going to leave $1.1 million on the table. Help me understand that.
Help you understand that.
No, he's going to get paid that in his contract, so that's going to be irrelevant once he gets the new redone contract. Right. And who cares about $1 million because he's going to get paid a gazillion.
He's already getting a gazillion. I understand where the caller's coming from because he's like, look, how much of a raise are you going to get that it makes sense for you for the second week in a row to leave $1.1 million on the table?
I can't wrap my head around that.
Well, I'd answer it this way. My guess, I don't know Trent's contract. I'm not his agent. My guess would be that at this point in Trent's career, having already made $168 million in his NFL career, my guess would be whatever their disagreement is, he is willing to sacrifice, let's call it $2.2 million right now to firm up that another year from now, there's a little extra in the pot and it's a little bit guaranteed. Like he's basically saying, I'll give up $2.2 million to sort of protect myself from something happening to my leg in November this year.
Or his ankle.
That's a bet that he wants to make. And at age 36, I don't think anybody really even wants him in camp right now. And then lastly, my cynical side doesn't believe that the Niners won't find a way to just be. I know they're not allowed to waive the fines, but I don't know. When he retires, they'll be like, dude, we'll send you a $2.2 million gift.
What do you mean nobody really wants him in camp right now?
I don't think that they want Trent working out for a month and a half before the regular season starts. He's 36 years old. Let me say it this way. That's too firm to say they don't want him there. There is very little motivation for Trent to be on the daily grind on August 16th.
Man, you got to put pads on and feel what it's like to get hit again, man. You got to get, don't you?
Not if you're Trent.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Here's my belief. I'm not saying it's an ideal world, but Trent could sign a new deal an hour before kickoff on September 9th, and he'll be in there.
I mean, he'll be in there, but how effective will he be?
And I'm not exaggerating. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be totally fine.
Why?
Because he is.
It didn't work for Blake Snell.
Correct.
So you think he just stands there? I mean, there's a reason why there's camp.
It's not ideal, but it would be that way. And whatever it is that he is, whatever he's working for, it matters to him.
Why are we giving Trent a pass and not Brandon Ayuk? I don't understand this. I want Trent Williams in camp. I want my defense to go up against him.
I agree with you.
There's value to that.
But I don't think the situations are similar at all. I don't think that they're similar at all. I'm sure he's working out.
He's
working out.
He's going to be sucking gas in the third quarter on Monday Night Football in week one.
I had somebody.
And guys are just going by him and Brock's getting crushed.
I had somebody send me video when Trent was not even gone from Washington yet and he's in a year-long holdout. And it was before the draft, And the 49ers, we didn't know, were about to acquire him. And he was at Adrian Peterson's facility, which I think is in Texas. And it was video of what he was doing at his workout. And I have never seen anything more physically amazing in my life than watching that 325-pound man and what he can do in terms of raw athleticism. The mat jumping that he is able to do, he's beyond.
Yeah, but here
he's out of control. I'm not arguing with you. I wish he was there, but I think that the idea that like that's the same as other players, I just don't agree.
But there's game shape and there's sure. In shape. There's two different things. I don't know if it's the same in football, but in baseball, we could run up hills and have parachutes, and I report, and I got 5% body fat, and I put on 20 pounds, and I'm in great shape. And the first day you go out and take 40 ground balls, and you take turns on the bases, you're locked up and you're sore.
I agree with you.
There's a reason why you go to camp. There's a reason why you're part of the team. There's a reason why you're on your teammates to get into game shape.
I believe that he will be in camp.
I don't believe in any sport you just show up to opening day or week one or the first game in the NBA without training with your teammates to get ready for that.
I don't disagree with you.
I don't think he's going to be the same guy if he just shows up to game one. I don't.
Okay. Again,
I don't care what he's doing, Mark.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I don't care if he's doing all kinds of cartwheels and he's in great shape.
But we're not there yet.
It's not the same.
But we're not there yet. I gave you a hypothetical, and I believe it, that if he signed an hour before the game, he would play.
But how would he play?
I don't know. But we're also not there yet. We're not there yet. This game this weekend, he was not going to play in, even if he was here. He's not going to play in the preseason. So if he shows up on Monday, we're good here.
Okay.
You get 3 weeks of camp. That's plenty.
If he shows up for Monday Night Football and that's his first game, it ain't going to go well.
Okay. You might be right.
No, I know I'm going to be right.
Yeah,
well, you can't just show up against guys that have been working toward and increasing game speed and being hit and having the pads on and out there for hours every single day to get better at their craft when you're doing jump ropes.
The only way I can answer that, is that I don't think that it's going to happen that
good.
Way.
All right. Then I'll stop.
I'm more worried
about him than Brandon Ayuk.
You're like,
and nobody else is talking about it.
If you think I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm giving you a hypothetical. I'm not saying it's ideal and okay if Trent just shows up on Monday, September 9th. I'm simply saying that he'd still play even if it goes that way.
If you had to rank Niners players, obviously the quarterback position in the NFL is the most important. Mm-hmm. I would put Brock number one. But where would you put Trent Williams in the top five or six?
On the Niners?
Yeah.
Oh, God, way higher than top five
or six.
Would
you put him two?
Maybe. Probably. Like, it's a race between... I think there's only five people to me that are potentially even on the list. And with all apologies to Debo and Brandon, they don't make my top five. It on defense, it's Fred and Nick. And on offense, it's Trent, Brock, and Christian.
Boy, when Debo was out last year, they struggled. Big deal. They struggled. Well, and when he came back, they rolled.
Right, but you forget that was also Trent. Trent missed those games too and then came back and then they rolled.
So rank your top five.
I just gave them to you. Oh, you want them in order?
Yeah, in order.
Okay, Brock's number one.
Plus, I wasn't paying attention.
Brock.
It's getting late, man. It's Friday.
Brock is number one, and I know that bothers some people.
No, he's number one.
But he's the quarterback.
Quarterback's got to be number one.
The fall off from the QB1 to QB2 is intense. If I had to go number two, I'd go Trent.
I'd go Trent.
If I had to go number three,
Bosa.
I would actually go Fred, and then I would go Bosa.
I can't argue with that.
And then I would go Christian.
Yep.
And I know that a lot of you think that that's crazy that Christian's so low, but I think the Niners could win all kinds of freaking games with Jordan Mason as their running back.
No. McCaffrey changed everything when he got traded here, man. Bob,
you didn't hear what I said now.
Come on.
I didn't say that. I put him number five. He's huge. But you're asking, can you go out and win a game?
You could put McCaffrey 2 on your list, and I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. I hear you.
I could go be fine with that.
Christian is so special, but there's not a coach in America that would tell you that a running back is more important than an edge rusher. No, nobody.
I'm changing mine.
There's a reason Nick Bosa makes twice as much as Christian McCaffrey.
I'm going McCaffrey too on mine.
That's fine. I'm not going to argue with you.
And then I'm going Bosa, and then Trent Williams, and then Fred Warner.
And we didn't even bring up, like I know you mentioned Debo, we didn't even bring up Kittle.
Debo's there.
Kittle's huge. These are huge, important players.
What a good problem to have.
Seriously.
To do your top five on a team, and you're just like, saying, whoa.
This team is so good. They're so good. And we have spent the entire month of August worrying.
Don't I got to get Kittle in my top five?
They're so good.
I got to get Kittle in the top five.
They have so many good players.
Just his energy, the way he goes about it, the way he just pummels people when he blocks them.
Well, I mean, we're splitting hairs with the conversation.
His wife is amazing.
You've gotten that in every day this week.
Yeah, because she just supports him and is like firing him up and pumping him up. She threw that birthday party for him with his shoes hanging off the ceiling. Like, well, that's what I was getting choked up. Like, do you have any friends?
The moment that melted everybody's heart, I think. I mean, I watched this with my daughter and she was like, oh. is on the Netflix doc is one of those sideline experiences between George and Claire. Right before the game, and she shoves him,
yes.
And off he runs. And as he's running away, out of earshot of her, okay, this is not for the cameras or for Claire or anything, he is now 25 yards away, and he just whispers to himself, God, I love her. My daughter was like, ah!
Yeah.
they are pretty freaking cute.
Do you remember what he said specifically about that pregame moment that they do before every game?
Yeah.
George says that that's her giving him her violence for the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then his dad writes him a note every game.
The letter.
Oh my God.
A letter does not do it justice.
Was filled with profanity, by the way.
It was great. Like, it's more like a digital scrapbook, is what it is.
Yeah. And it just fired me up when he read that one. I was like, oh my God, let's go.
Yep.
So I got to put George in my top.
That's fine. You're not going to get it.
I can't do this. This is hard.
Yeah. They got a lot of good players on their football team. They got a lot of guys. There are people who will make no one's list, who I would argue are still really important. Kyle Juszczyk is really important to what they do.
Sure.
He's very, very important.
So is Jake Moody, but he's not on my list.
You know what I mean? Well, but I always look at it as like, is there another person that even in a small sample can come in and rock? That's why Christian doesn't make my top two. Because I still think you could have another running back there and be like, we're still a pretty good football team.
No, I totally disagree with that.
You don't think they could
He's so multidimensional, and you have to worry about him running the ball up the middle, running the ball outside.
I'm doing a horrible job of making my point.
Receiving, there's so many things he does, blocking. He could be their best. He could be number one on somebody's list. I'd be like, okay.
I get it. I disagree with none of what you're saying. But like week two, they play Minnesota. You don't think they could beat him with Jordan Mason getting 20 carries?
No.
I think they win by 12.
Nope.
Really?
No.
Really?
Nope.
The Vikings.
Nope.
With no quarterback.
Christian McCaffrey changed everything when he came here.
Of course he did.
The Niners went to a whole different level.
And what were they before he arrived?
They were good.
Thank you.
They weren't great.
I didn't say they were great. I said, could they win a football game without him? I'd argue that, like, you drop off.
Well, then they can't win a game without Brock Purdy.
Correct. That's why Brock's ahead of Christian.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. I need a recess, Your Honor.
And we have evidence of them without Debo and Trent, and they went on a three-game losing streak. And then what I forgot, thank you, Netflix, that Debo left twice in the playoffs. And both times, the air went out of the balloon. He left the Green Bay game, and that thing was a mud slog. And then he left the Super Bowl with the Niners up by 10. Air out of the balloon. He's huge.
He's huge.
Of course Christian's huge. I'm not going to argue with you on that. Christian's the best running back in the game. Total game changer. That's the point. The Niners have like 8 of those guys. But they don't have, there's not another Juszczyk in the whole league.
Watching receivers, and I think I told you this off the air, maybe via text message. I can't believe they didn't win the Super Bowl. Like, you're watching that whole documentary with Debo and Kittle, and you're like, damn, they're good. Like, this team is so good. And then you get the snippets from behind the scenes of how much they love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing with Michael Silver, and then they were finding out that they were number one seed and the Eagles lost to Arizona.
Yep.
And then they go in the locker room like little kids, and you're just seeing all the interaction between them. Just the little things that I miss as a player when you're just, they're just like little things they say. And the, like McCaffrey said something like, way to go, George, you were really good at football today. I was like, that's so cool. You were really good at football today.
Yeah.
Or you're really good at football. I'm like, thanks. Thanks, Christian.
Yeah.
And like those little interactions, those guys are, I mean, if I sound like a fanboy right now, I am.
That's fine.
The thing you miss when you retire is that interaction between the fellas. And when you see how much these guys cared about each other and how good they were, how hard they played, how hard they worked, how they seemed like they were egoless, even though they wanted their touches and wanted their touchdowns. Man, it was hard. It was hard for me to like, man, how did they not win it all?
Well,
that's the best team in football. I don't care. The Chiefs fans will like crush me for saying that. But sometimes the best team doesn't always win.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you could watch it on the field. Like, oh my God, the list of things that had to go wrong.
And they all did.
They all did. From Dre Greenlaw's leg exploding to Christian McCaffrey fumbling on the opening drive to the offensive lineman going the wrong way. To this, that, and the other, to Debo leaving the game, to George leaving the game. And I know it sounds like all kinds of excuses, but I'm with Steve Young. And that's why when I hear you go, it's all about this year, I struggle with that. Because when people say this is their best chance to win, no, it wasn't.
They got a big window. There's no such thing as a window with the Niners because they're always going
to
be talented.
But they already missed their best chance to win. And I know that hurts like hell. But their best chance to win the Super Bowl was last year because they were head and shoulders the best team in the league.
They were.
And Netflix knew it, and it's why they went, you know what, let's grab a couple of them while we're here. Let's do two from the same team because that's the team.
Are we doing tight ends next year? I'd watch that with Kelce and Taylor Swift.
But you already did Kittle.
Did
Kittle. Do it again.
He's so good.
Do it again.
I love the documentaries. I can't get enough
of them. It was great theater. It really was. It was great theater. They did an awesome job of selecting. If you really look at like the way they made that a well-rounded group, where it was like the vet, Devontae Adams, and a spot where there's struggle. And then Amon-Ra, who they knew, Amon-Ra and Justin, they knew were on their way to a contract extension, I think. And Justin really sort of brought the youthful vibe to the whole thing. And Amon-Ra kind of brought the weird.
Serious.
Serious. And the Lions.
Seriously weird.
The Lions had a lot of preseason hype. Remember, they played on opening night against the Chiefs and won. And he's super underrated. And he's kind of their best player. So everything's based on him. And there was that, and then they're like, all right, and then let's go get the Niners from multiple angles.
You know what I did that I think was wrong as a Niners fan? That I was so bummed about the Super Bowl loss that I put that season, I do this a lot in my life, I put that season in a Tupperware and threw it in the freezer. And what that show did to me was remind me how much fun the ride was.
Totally.
To get to the Super Bowl.
I love
and
that.
And I think for so many of us fans, we're worried about the destination so much, and we're so focused on the destination that we forget to enjoy the ride. And the ride was incredible last year.
So say it with
incredible.
Me.
Incredible.
Say it with me.
What? Super Bowl or bust?
Super Bowl or try again. Say it with me.
Super Bowl or try again.
Super Bowl or try again.
The ride is phenomenal.
That's my hat.
The ride is phenomenal.
Never, ever, ever going to take it off.
We're always worried about the end, and then sometimes we forget about that, and I did. So that's why I was wrong. And then that show reminded me of all the great moments during the season and what a wonderful season it was and all the fun Sundays we had and with our friends drinking beers at the game, watching in a bar, watching at home on our living room couches, and what a great season it was. And there's only one team that goes home happy every year. Only one team. The rest go home pissed. And I think we went home the most pissed.
Well, I will.
But
go ahead.
No, but that show reminded me of how much fun last year was.
You know what it also reminded me of, though?
And I should have remembered that without the show.
How often during the playoffs they played three football games? Of those 12 quarters, How often were you happy?
Just at the end? But besides the Super Bowl?
It was stunning how much of the playoffs went poorly.
There was a grind. But you're playing the best teams on the biggest stage. You just win, baby. I don't care how it goes.
But you're the best team.
It's all right.
And you got outplayed at least twice.
It's not fun if you just roll through the playoffs. You gotta have some drama.
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying it was stunning in 12 quarters how often it wasn't going well. The Packer game, I'd argue, pretty much just didn't go well.
Yeah.
Like the whole time. I know they went on a drive at the end. They won. The Packers missed a field goal. Thank you very much. Jordan Love threw an interception, and Dre Greenlaw ran around in circles for an hour and a half and fell down. I remember all of it.
Go down!
That was fun, but the Packer game was fun for the last 4 minutes, and that's it. And in fact, the drive itself, super stressful. The Lion game, I don't even know what to do with that. This whole second half was fun, but good God. And then the Chiefs get the Super Bowl felt dark the whole time. It just did. It never felt good. From Christian fumbling right out of the gate, when they went up 10-0, for a minute, you're like, okay. But then you're like, 10-point lead in the Super Bowl. What could go wrong? Oh, we've been here before. Never comfortable, never felt good, and then felt like one of the larger gut punches I've felt as a 49er fan in my adult life.
Or just a fan.
Yeah.
Not even just a sports fan.
Well, nothing will ever do what the 2002 Giants did. Nothing. Nothing.
Ooh, I would argue that this was worse.
Oh, no. Not for somebody who was in. Remember now, the Giants go up 5-0 in the seventh. It's over.
Yeah, it was like bip, bip, bip. And then Erstad hit a home run to tie it or something like that.
Spezio. And then, yeah, maybe was it Erstad? Troy Gloss hits the double out to left center. Our guest earlier today, Rob Nen, his arm just hanging from his body.
By a thread.
Trying to throw pitches to an Angels team that would not get out. And I have a personal end on that because I had a credential and I was in the building and I thought the Giants were going to win the first San Francisco World Series and I was going to get to be in the clubhouse with the team. And I was losing my flipping mind. And then the rally monkey came out.
I was like 6 years old. Yeah. The only thing I remember is I still sometimes have nightmares about the rally monkey. And the only other thing I remember from watching that was my dad just cursing out Felix Rodriguez. I remember.
There was so much cursing going on. Dusty had a tough series. People were mad at him at the end.
I've been in one of those locker rooms. Yeah. It's the best thing ever as a broadcaster.
It's the best thing ever?
Yeah.
When what?
When your team wins the World Series.
When they win.
Scherzer did the Isaac Bruce thing. I was the first guy he saw on the field. I'm in a suit. He picks me up, spins me around. Go, ah!
You're not helping.
I was supposed to be interviewing guys, and I'm running around celebrating like Jim Valvano in a suit, yeah. Like running, hugging wives and hugging players.
I didn't know any of the players. Nobody was going to pick me up, but I was just like, I just want to go in there and get some champagne on the back of my neck. Like, who knows? Maybe Will Clark will cuss. I don't know what the hell was going to happen.
Oh, man. Sorry
We were 33 minutes from that being reality. And then it got taken, and I had to sit here as an angsty fan for 8 years until Buster Posey showed up and started the process of erasing the memories. But yeah, this 49er one was.
Yeah, I had some intelligent point to make about the Niners that I can't remember now because we got off track. But yeah, this was a tough loss, and it was. But they're going to win it this year. Wait, lock. Just like Ayuk's going to sign yesterday on our show.
We're making Super Bowl predictions.
They're going to win it all.
August 16th.
They're like really going on a limb there.
I know. They're supposed to. But they got all kinds of things that need to happen first. Bunch of stuff's got to go right.
They're going
to
sign Trent Williams.
Do you remember, and I'm sorry for, like, dude, how did I bring this up? Can I have, like, a waiver?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate it. Do you remember what we were all talking about last year at this time?
No.
The fact that the 49ers never get a year where their quarterback's healthy for the whole year. That's what we were talking about 1 year ago today.
Also Bosa.
Yes, but you remember what I'm talking about. Dan Dibley sat here and made bets to me every day. What's the over-under on how many quarterbacks the Niners are going to use this year? I'll set it at 1.5. Take the over for sure. And then, of course, he victory laps when Sam Darnold gets a gift start in week 18 that didn't even count.
Boy, the only time I've ever really lost my crap on the air when I was at the other place is when fans were calling in saying that Kyle Shanahan was trying to get quarterbacks hurt. Oh, God, that made me mad. That got me so mad.
I'm with you.
I mean, literally, as a son of a football coach, nobody wears it more. Nobody is more upset. Nobody is more sad than when their players get hurt.
Like, the idea, if I were Kyle.
That drove me nuts.
If I were Kyle, I would have used that as an opportunity to do a memorable press conference, a Dennis Green press conference.
Yeah.
Do you know how offensive I thought that must feel to Kyle Shanahan?
Exactly.
That he was being accused of hurting Trey Lance on purpose? I don't think there's anything ever that I've heard more offensive said about a professional coach.
Same.
So I'm with you.
And
I'm
fans
with you
1,000%. Just showed how, like, the fans that were on that train just showed how, like, dumb they are. There's no other word to put it.
Yeah. Or
they're just dumb.
Emotional and triggered.
No,
and
I'll say
all
it.
That
they're
stuff.
Dumb.
Yeah, well, okay. That's fine.
If you think that a coach would try to hurt one of his players and call plays to hurt one of his players,
I mean, it's just,
you're dumb.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't know. Yeah, is that PC?
Agreed.
I can't say that. I'm
no,
going to get
say
canceled
that.
For calling fans
but no,
dumb.
But we sat here a year ago. We sat here a year ago. And we're coming off of an experience of watching the quarterback get knocked into the hospital in the NFC title game. And we've been through the Trey experience, the Jimmy experience, and then Brock Purdy tears his UCL in the NFC title game.
And it was Kyle's fault for calling that play.
Of course, of course. How the hell do you not block Hassan Reddick?
That's ridiculous.
So now you go through an offseason with everything that had been through with Jimmy and all the players even before that. And you're right. That was the narrative about Kyle Shanahan. Well, for whatever reason, he gets his players hurt. And we sat here and took these points as if they were real points. This is stuff that people said. And a lot of you thought, like, you're like, yep, that's what I think. Something about his system. They're a physical team. So, like, more Niners get hurt, because look at the IR numbers, pretty high. So more Niners get hurt than other people who play football, because some teams in the NFL, this was my response, apparently there are NFL teams out there who don't play physical. I've never watched one of them before. I've watched a lot of NFL games. I've never seen somebody frolicking around in the grass, trying to not touch anyone else. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. But we've forgotten. So now we've just decided, well, Brock Purdy's playing 17 games because that's the way it goes. It often doesn't. So don't do your Super Bowl prediction on August 16th.
Yeah.
Don't
lock,
do it. Unlock
stone
it.
Cold, baby.
Unlock it. Unlock it.
Oh, there's
stuff is about to happen.
I can't wait. I'm ready for football.
Who isn't?
I'm really ready for football.
In 2 hours and 23 minutes.
Is there a football game?
No. My high school friends will be on a Zoom, and I will find out my draft pick.
Really? Who are you going with? Oh, you don't know what you're picking
no,
yet?
No, this is simply a Zoom to do the draft order.
All right.
One of the dorkier things I've ever done in my life.
No, but, everybody but plays fantasy football.
These are my no, but I mean the fact that we're doing on a Zoom just to find out the order. We're not doing the draft. We're just doing the order. And then that's it. Should take 6 minutes. But these are my peeps, so I want to see them.
That's cool.
I don't get to see them. We're spread out all over the country. So I don't even know how many of them are going to show up.
If you get the first pick, who would you take?
Well, I don't get the first pick. We know that already.
All right, if you get the second pick.
Whoever wins the consolation tournament at the end of the year gets to pick their pick. And the guy picked number one overall, which is stupid. But don't tell him because he lives in the East Bay. Hey, Craig, he listens to the show. You're dumb. You shouldn't have taken the first pick. That's a terrible pick to have.
Why?
Well, because you get Christian McCaffrey and then you wait for an hour and a half to pick again. You don't pick till 24. I don't think strategically it's the right way to play. That's just me. If I had my pick, I wouldn't pick there. I wouldn't.
You want a lower pick so you get two in a row?
I don't know if I'd go all the way to 12. I would assess the top sort of whatever, you know what I mean? And try to go as deep as you can where you still love your first overall pick, but then get that ball back to you as quick as possible.
Who do you think goes second?
Probably Breece Hall. I think most people would answer it that way, but you're going to have some Tyreeks. You're going to have some CDs. You know, those are the characters.
At the risk of sounding stupider than I have for the last 4 hours, it's not a quarterback-driven fantasy league.
You don't do quarterback first. I'm doing a draft tomorrow night where it's a super flex and you play two quarterbacks and you do quarterback first.
I have a little show breaking news, boys.
Oh,
I just got a call back from Bay Area baseball royalty Dontrell Willis.
Okay,
and I told him we could do up until six, like maybe 2 hours ago.
Put him on.
So we'll get him maybe 5-10 minutes on the other side.
Sweet.
I know we got to hit a break. Just a couple minutes. Get ready for this final Bay Bridge series.
Oakland's own. I love it. I absolutely
Alameda,
love it.
Alameda, close.
What's that?
Alameda.
Yeah. Whatever, man. I'm trying to, come on. They're not the Alameda A's, for Christ's sake. All right.
We're not sponsored, the Oakland A's for much longer
we're
either.
Sponsored. Sponsored by Lucky California and Effie's in for Dibs, and it's Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, this will be fun. What a fun surprise here at the end of the show, especially since we've been talking Niners for the last couple hours. We're going into the last ever Bay Bridge series between the Giants and the A's this weekend. So super appropriate that we circle back to that and get out our thoughts on that as we head into the weekend. But what better person to do that with then the East Bay's own Dontrell Willis. Obviously went on to a phenomenal MLB career and now is with Fox's MLB coverage and Apple TV and was kind enough to jump on the River Islands guest line right now and chatted up a little bit on the way out the door. Dontrell, thanks for doing it, man. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me. Really, truly, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
No, thank you for hopping on. Mark Willard, FP Santangelo here. What does this mean to you that this is the last Giants-A's Bay Bridge games this weekend?
Yeah, I'd be lying to say if I wasn't gutted. You know, it's one of those things that you think about, as especially if you're an avid A's fan. This organization really, it truly saved my life. I mean, Dave Stewart, you know, it's well documented, is my hero. And this is a man that calls me Ace. I mean, this is ridiculous, you know what I mean? But because of the impact, you know, that they had on the East Bay, I mean, it's our cathedral, you know. And so today I got a chance to call a game at Wrigley Field, and the passion and the joy they have for that organization and the memories they have. I mean, we have all those same memories in that stadium and as well as that parking lot. You know what I mean? And so it's really tough. I tell everybody I wanted to hit like Will Clark and throw like Dave Stewart. And so those are two Bay Area heroes. And so I truly feel gutted for the good people of the East Bay.
I wonder, Dontrell, in your mind, like, I'll just leave this open-ended. I'm not trying to pin you down here. But, like, what, in your mind, what led to this?
That's a great question. I mean, I guess you would have to ask what led to the Warriors leaving, what led to the Raiders leaving, you know, once again for a second time. I'm not into politics. I pay my taxes, thank God. You know what I mean? So I can't really answer that, but all I can answer is the people that I know and love that are passionate about these organizations and how much this hurts. So I don't know what led to it. My mom's more political. She's in the union and all that stuff for iron workers. She can tell you all that stuff. I can't tell you. I can tell you how to throw a backup slider and who I love and who I appreciate, you know, in sports. But, you know, the A's were the joy of Oakland, you know, and so that joy is leaving. And so it's just truly painful, you know, to go through that. I'm going to make my way up to the Bay Area just to, you know, take my, you know, my see my friends and hang out with my mom at the game, because this is truly an organization and really an environment and an area that saved my life. And it inspired a lot of people like me and CC Sabathia to want to be big leaguers and want to be on that field. So that's all I can speak to as far as that. If I was a billionaire, I would put some on it, you know what I mean, to try to help them stay. But yeah, I just can't, you know, I don't know, but it hurts.
Come on, Dontrell, you got that kind of glue. Let's go.
I can put some on the concessions, but that's about it. I can freshen up those nachos, but that's about it.
Do you have one memory, maybe your fondest memory as a kid or as a player playing over there at the Coliseum?
Oh, man. You know what? Pitching in the high school championship there as a freshman, even though we lost to Akalani's. I mean, it's the East Bay Cathedral. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as a kid, like, you know, it didn't matter what division you played in, you wanted to make it to the Coliseum. That was the goal. You know what I mean? And so I still have Coliseum dirt in my garage that I stole, you know what I mean, as a freshman playing for Incidental. I still have it in my garage. And so, you know what I mean? The atmosphere, the vibe, to see people that you know and love be able to see, you know, you play at a high level, it's everything. And so, you know, I got a chance to pitch there and see my family and see my mom yelling on the stands like she's at a regular, you know, AAU high school basketball game and stuff like that. It was just fun. And so it still has that environment for the Oakland A's, and that's sad because, you know, they have some talented players moving forward.
Alameda's own Dontrell Willis, MLB great, now covering the game, Apple TV, Fox Sports, all of that, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Dontrell, what do you think the player perspective is on the idea of playing in a minor league ballpark next year?
They're hot about it. They won't say it, but I mean, you know, you call it the show for a reason. You know, Sandy knows what I mean by that. You know what I mean? This is the league of extraordinary gentlemen and women now. You know what I mean? And so you look across the Bay, especially being an East Bay person, you see what happens when you build a beautiful facility, you know what I mean, like Oracle, and see how it changes the infrastructure and the jobs and what have you. So it's not just about having a beautiful facility, but it helps others as well. And so, you know, we want some of that. We deserve some of that. And so that's where I believe some of the bitterness comes from the East Bay, because look at all the talented players that have been in A's uniforms. I mean, not just, you know, Bay Area talented, but nationally known. I mean, so it's truly, truly unfortunate that they're leaving like this and really playing in a minor league stadium, because it's a show for a reason.
Yeah, you walk in to your first big league ballpark, and it's like Hoosiers. You can walk up. I remember the first time I walked up from the hot dog stand at Wrigley Field up the four stairs and where you were today, and you see Wrigley Field for the first time, and you're like, I'm in the big leagues. Or wherever you go. Can you imagine getting called up? That's the part I have a trouble with, getting called up to Sacramento. Like, and that's your first big league game, and you're looking, and it's not a big league ballpark. It doesn't have the third deck. It's not a cathedral, as Dontrell's been talking about. So, I don't know. Maybe they build a stadium there eventually, Dontrell, but I'm sure the players are really having a tough time with that. And if that's your home field for 81 games, that's going to be tough for the players. And Dontrell's right. They can't really come out and say it.
Sure.
They say on the back of the plane drinking a beer, or when they're out at the hotel bar after a game, but they can't say it publicly. They can't.
No, because, you know, the bottom line is you want to stay in the big leagues. You know what I mean? And that's just the bottom line and what have you. And there's a lot of people trying to develop their careers. I mean, people have fought all their lives to try to get in this situation. And I'm super proud of just the way they're playing right now amidst all this. I mean, I played in Miami for majority of my career, and there was always talk about a new stadium being built, and we were playing in a football stadium. Man, I was just trying to get Jim Tomei out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just trying to get Jimmy Rollins out, and that, you know what I mean, and Ryan Howard. You know what I mean? I was just trying to compete at the highest level. You know what I mean? So, you know, they think about it, they hear the rumblings, but the bottom line is they still have a job to do for themselves, for the organization, and for their families.
Dontrell, I don't know where this is going, but does the idea of Major League Baseball in Vegas make sense to you?
It's tough because it's so damn hot. So the stadium better be, you know, I mean, even if you want to have that retractable dome, if you want to have that energy, how are you going to sustain, you know, that as far as, you know, you see the basketball team doing well, you see the hockey team doing well, but, you know, can baseball sustain it, you know what I mean, inheriting another team? Now, I'm a diehard Raiders fan, so you see the success that they're having down there as far as, like, the attendance and what have you. So I think that's what they're banking on. And so there's a lot of people moving out in Vegas. I live in Arizona. You know, there's a lot of people moving to those desert-type cities that are growing so fast. So if you build it to a capacity that's controllable, I'm sure it has a chance to work, but I don't care about that. I'm from the Bay Area. I was born in Oakland. I grew up in Alameda. I feel like our fans, the citizens, deserve a new ballpark and some ball club to cheer for.
It's crazy, man. Oh, by the way, Raiders fan, huh? Why didn't they do more at the quarterback position in the offseason?
See, you're crossing the line. See, you're crossing the line right now. You know what I mean? You're crossing the line. I can hear that Niner energy coming out of your mouth, but that's okay. We have a chance, okay? I'm a diehard, okay? So I appreciate that, but don't ever disrespect me on this call ever again.
Hey, I'm just fresh. Listen, I'm fresh off of Netflix documentaries, and Davante Adams does not look happy, Dontrell.
You know what, though? I like my receivers angry. They're going to run the routes harder, though. You know what I mean? It's nice. Let me tell you something. It's nice as Jerry Rice was, when he stepped on that toe, he was in and out of that block. And listen, I want my receivers angry and running those routes at a high level.
Dontrell, before you go, man, I just want to tell you, you're doing a good job, man. Great job. Just keep being you on the air. I watched today, did a great job on the Apple broadcast. Just keep being you, dude. You do a fantastic job as an analyst.
Hey, thank you, man. I really appreciate you guys, man. Have a good night, man. Appreciate it.
You as well. Dontrell, actually, hey, before you hang up, do you have a message to other East Bay sports fans?
Right now, I'm still grieving. You know what I mean? And I understand. I'm with them. Keep rooting for the players. You know what I mean? Because it's not their fault. That's how I feel about it. You know what I mean? They're playing their hearts out. They're doing everything they can with the Oakland, you know, iconic Oakland A's uniform on them. Just keep rooting for the players. And I get it. I understand. Trust me. I'm with them on Ground Zero. But nevertheless, it's not the players' fault, and they got some talented players on their roster that need to be celebrated.
Thank you so much for coming on our show, man.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Okay. Wow, what a ton of fun he is.
Yeah.
Dontrell Willis.
He keeps it real on the broadcast. He doesn't turn into broadcaster guy. He just talks. It's great.
It was really cool. Yeah. Really cool. That was that was fun. That was fun.
It's a good way to end a week. Your first week back after 74 vacations.
Not just my first week back. That's it. We back. That's it. There's no more days off. It's Bill Belichick the rest of the way. Okay?
Let's go.
That's my promise. It was really fun having you here this week.
It was great. Thanks for having me. Had a blast.
Yeah. Glad you were here. Grandy, what are you doing? What's happening?
We're going to hear The Thrill coming up next.
Well, The Thrill. Yeah. Okay. Was on with Bonte and Joe.
How many bleeps? Did you have to bleep them out at all?
A couple times.
A couple times. Yeah. We're like, no. Your other show has no filter. We have a filter. All right. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Here it comes. Best of the game with Grandy. I won't ask you if you want to do it tomorrow because, tomorrow's Saturday. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure. I'll be here.
No, you won't.
Yeah.
All right. For FP, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.